Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Me Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
Hello, P4P listeners. This is Phaedra Chantel, and I will be your hostess this evening. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. So, welcome everyone. Like I said, this is Phaedra Chantel, and I'm hosting tonight. Kalen will be coming on in. We have a special guest, like we do always. Tonight, we will be talking with Carrie Morris, who just got her pro card a couple months ago. She was in April at the Illinois State INBA PNBA competition. Hi, Carrie. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Phaedra? Thanks for having me tonight.
I'm doing very, very well. I'm very excited to talk with you and get some cool information tonight. So on the show, Kalen has talked to a lot of different bikini competitors and figure competitors and a lot of people in the sport. And we find, I think the PNBA and INBA has just some really great stories and some very interesting journeys to where they are now.
For sure.
So Carrie is, Carrie basically, what we put out there as the promo for this is a picture of you. And it says, "Diabetes does not define me." So I think listeners who have also watched the promo and what this show is all about kind of question, I wonder what this girl has going on. So before we go there, because like you said, that's not what defines you, let's start from the beginning. So we see you as this beautiful blonde bombshell who goes on stage and works it super well.
Thank you.
But where does that start? Like, as a kid, were you, wearing your mom's heels and a princess with Barbie dolls? Or what kind of little girl were you?
No, definitely not. I was a tomboy, always wore jeans, never really wore the heels until I got into about high school. But really took to sports a lot. I did like sports. I was a pretty athletic kid. But never thought in a million years that I would ever do something like this and take part of a bikini competition and on top of it all, win it. So this is definitely not the journey that I had foreseen even, maybe 5 years ago. So it's something that I absolutely love and I have a new passion for. And just, it's a different side of me that I'm just kind of exploring for the very first time.
That's awesome. So you were sports. What sports did you play?
I was a soccer player. I played basketball. I played softball. I was always playing something, whether it was like in school, out of school. But I would say I preferred soccer. I did like to play soccer, probably the best out of all the sports.
Very cool. And are you originally? That's cool. That's a good sport. That's pretty. I have a lot of respect for soccer players for sure. It's a lot of training. So that was in the high school. Now, did you grow up? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in Litchfield, Connecticut. Graduated with about 87 mm-hmm. people in my class. I'm from a family with I have an older brother and an older sister who also played sports. So, you know, just grew up in a small town. I was a small town girl, you know, and I didn't know exactly where I was going to end up. And I went from Florida. I mean, I went from Connecticut to Florida, then Florida to Chicago. And never have you had asked me, you know, back in high school, if I had wanted or would move to Chicago, I probably would have said no. I don't see myself in a city. But it's funny how things change as you get older and experiences come and you have to take them as they come. So I'm very blessed to be where I'm at in Chicago now. So this is where I call home now.
Well, great, because we're happy to have you. And what are you doing these days aside from rocking stages? What is your career, actually?
I am an account executive for a men's skincare company called Jack Black. It's an amazing skincare and grooming company for men based out of Dallas, but it's a private company. We're a small company. I've been with them for about 5 years. They actually moved me from Florida to Chicago. So I'm very blessed to have my job, and they're very supportive with you know, my passion for fitness and my passion for the show that I just did. They're totally supportive. So it's great to be able to have a great work atmosphere as well as, you know, be able to do my own personal thing on the side. So it's a great feeling to have both of those.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, it seems like it would be, you know, you get to do the traveling, and it would fit in to being able to prep a little bit, because you kind of have your own scheduling and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm fortunate. I mean, I don't know how people, you know, that have like the 9 to 5 every day. Mm-hmm. It's got to be so hard to stay focused, especially at the end, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that feeling. All right. So we know the Carrie that many people know and see. So what I'd like for you to do is take us back about 4.5 years ago. What were you doing? Where was your mind at? How are you feeling? Give us a little bit of that aspect before
Definitely.
The diagnosis.
Okay, so about four and a half years ago, I was living in the Sunshine State. You know, my life consisted of the beach, school, the beach, and that was about it. I didn't really have a lot of cares in the world. I was pretty carefree back then. But I would say I would still consider myself active. I've always, you know, worked out, but to different extremes at different times in my life. And, you know, I started to not feel too well. And I started getting some symptoms, extremely thirsty, some of the other typical symptoms for diabetes. And I actually have family members who have diabetes type 1, my grandmother and my uncle. So growing up, you know, I remember having conversations with both of them about, you know, how they found out they were diabetics. And so it kind of just came to me. And I was in a little bit of a denial at first. I thought, no, it's probably something else. I'll be fine. It's okay. But I continued to get, you know, my symptoms got worse and I became really sick, started to lose a lot of weight. I've dropped about 15 pounds in about 2.5 weeks. So I was starting to get very frail and, you know, it was scary. So I didn't have family around at the time. And I didn't really, you know, at that time I didn't even have insurance or, you know, a doctor that I went
wow.
to on a regular basis. So yeah, it was a real awakening. I still remember the day just driving to the walk-in clinic, because that's where I went. And I went in and I had a feeling, and sure enough, the doctor came back and was like, you have a blood sugar of 580, which a normal blood sugar
oh, wow.
is between 80 and 110. So that was obviously a huge concern for me, because I mean, I was, you know, extremely high. So, you know, the next step after hearing that was just kind of like, okay, I couldn't really sit there and like feel sorry for myself. Like I just knew I had to be proactive. And I think, you know, what it came down to was the fact that I had experienced and known somebody else that had diabetes, like my grandmother and my uncle, even though I wasn't 100% aware of what diabetes actually was at the time. I just knew that you have to take care of yourself to live a long, healthy life. So, you know, that's what I did. I took that day and It was a little frustrating. I went through a little bit of a frustration with getting insurance and things like that. Because at that time, it was I'm trying to think of the word that they use. They wouldn't cover you. Pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
So that was going on at that time. So it was really hard. So. I did what I had to do, but at the same time, it was the worst time of my life because I had just found out that I had diabetes, but it was the best time of my life because I just got promoted with my job to move to Chicago. So literally within 3 weeks of finding out that I had diabetes, I was moving to Chicago, and talk about like a whole new world. Now I'm moving to somewhere where I absolutely know no one. I'm going to be starting a new life, a new career, you know, my first career basically, and having to, figure out how to live with diabetes. So that's where I was. And, 5 years later, a lot has changed, or 4.5 years later, a lot has changed. And, you know, I think back on it and I'm like, wow, I can't believe, you know, where I started and how all of this happened. And, you know, I never thought my life would be where it is today. So that's kind of a cool thing because, you know, I took a chance when I moved to Chicago and I took a chance doing the show. And, you know, it's a good feeling. It's definitely it's a rewarding feeling to overcome things that you just never thought you could overcome.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you had gone through some of the things that you were going through that, like during that time when you found it out. So for our listeners and, we all have heard diabetes and how terrible it is. And, you know, that it has to do with blood sugar and there's type 2, type 1. And now they're coming out with a lot of different, you know, different kinds of diabetes and ways we can live with and kind of beat it in a certain sense by taking care of ourselves. So, what exactly, let's say, you know, you found out and you just didn't start living a healthy lifestyle. What kind of things does diabetes lead to?
Oh man.
It
leads to everything. If you ever see any commercials, it's like, well, if you have diabetes, you can't take this. If you have diabetes, you
right.
can't take this. It's kind of comical because it's like every time I go anywhere to fill out a form to do anything, it's like, there's always that box that says you have diabetes. And so I'm really happy that you actually have mentioned diabetes because it is really, you know, I still get on a daily basis, not on a daily basis, but regularly people will say, well, you don't look like you have diabetes. And, you know, it's like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So it's really, I think it's really important. And, you know, I was uneducated about diabetes before, you know, I was actually, and I had two family members. So I didn't know completely what it was. So it's actually a funny fact, but 25.8 million people have diabetes in the United States. That's a huge amount, right?
Wow.
So So that's 8.3 of our population, basically. So what's crazy, though, is type 1 diabetes is only 5% of that. The other 95% of that is type 2 diabetes. So here's the big difference. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
It's absolutely crazy. So basically, you know, when people ask, well, like, what kind of diabetes do you have? And I explain to them, you know, I have type 1 diabetes. It's an autoimmune disorder. Basically, your body's immune system attacks the cells in the pancreas that make insulin. So my body does not make insulin. So which is why I need insulin, like my insulin pump that I wear. Some people give themselves shots, just depending on the method. But really, that's what type 1 diabetes is that my body unfortunately just doesn't make it. And there's really no exact cause of why it happens. You know, they say that it's a combination of like your genes or something in the environment that triggers the gene to kind of become active. So being 24 years old and being diagnosed with type 1, it was kind of like, I thought only like juvenile people, you know, that's what a lot of people think. Oh, you only get it when you're younger. But they are finding that type 1 is now, you know, it's expanding into like the 20s, the 30s. Now, whereas type 2, basically that, so type 2, it can be a couple of different things. People, they do say that you can inherit this gene, but most of the people that have type 2 diabetes, they get it from their lifestyle factors. So like being obese, being inactive, those are usually the two most common causes of type 2 diabetes, which are actually, you know, reversible. You can correct that with diet and exercise. So, you know, I think it's important for people to recognize out there that, you know, that it's not because I ate too many candy bars is why I have type 1 diabetes, you know?
Right.
Also get, you know, like, well, you can't have this because it has sugar in it. And it's like, well, that's not correct either. Like, I can have a balanced life. You know, I choose to eat things that are good for my, you know, good for me. But of course, everybody likes a piece of cake or something sweet. So, you know, you don't have to, you know, being a type 1 diabetic and having that pressure of, oh, you can't eat this, or, you know, oh, this isn't sugar-free, sorry, it's okay. But, you know, you just have to make sure you cover your insulin for it. So that's really the difference between type 1 and type 2. And I think, you know, a lot of people out there have a misunderstanding of what diabetes is. It's just, I think it's important to make sure that they know that there is a difference. And, you know, if you are a type 2 diabetic, it's great that it can be reversed, you know, that you can take care of that so you don't have diabetes for the rest of your life.
Yeah. That is very important. And I feel exactly what you had said is because we do, when we see individuals, when you hear diabetes, that's what you first think of is, you know, the sugar aspect of it and how much sugar we ingest and how our bodies do it. And I knew a kid I went to high school, or actually grade school with, who was type 1 diabetic, but he had it. It came along like when he was a kid, like, first kid, and that's what I was going to ask you. You didn't find out till so much later in life, and so how did that? I mean, were you really confused on how that could be? Because you didn't have any symptoms before then, or did you have symptoms and you were just kind of like, whatever, I'll get an energy drink and get more energy, and I'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I really didn't have, I would say that it was a couple months of some symptoms that I started to notice. It came on pretty quickly, I would say. So as far as like being kind of like confused, yeah, I was confused, but in the back of my mind also, I believe that it has something to do with genetics. I mean, if my grandmother has it, my uncle has it, and I have it, obviously there's something in our genetics that, you know, that is the reason why all three of us have it. Why I got it at that age, I'm not quite sure. You know, so it definitely was a little alarming. But again, like, I look at it in this aspect, like, I'm so blessed that I got to grow up and, you know, enjoy my childhood and really not have to, like, stress about that, because diabetes puts so much stress, and I can't even imagine the stress that it puts on a parent having a child who has diabetes, who they have to wake up in the middle of the night to test their sugar to make sure that their sugar is not too low. Like, it's got to be hard as a child to grow up and hear, no, you can't eat that, you know, and they don't understand exactly. At least I could understand and comprehend what it was and what I needed to do, whereas a child is like, you know, you feel bad because you want them to enjoy their childhood.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. And you don't really know, you know, you just hear such bad, terrible things about it, and it can be pretty devastating and hard to work with, but just as anything, as a child, and being a parent. So now that we got through the education part of that, which thank you for sharing so much information, because there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know, and I think if anyone listening is dealing with that or may feel like that could be something that, you know, that's coming, because it's scary to think about that and to go to the doctor, find out that your even on the cusp of maybe having it, that it is reversible and there is things to do about it and just getting a little bit healthier and living, changing your lifestyle a little bit. So we did that. So we had that, and then some time went by and you had some other things that were just some wonderful mountains to climb over. So can you give us some information on a little further fast forward through your journey?
Sure, yes. It definitely hasn't been an easy road. That's just something I've come to grips with, that this is my life and I'm just, you know, I have to appreciate the good when they're here, but there obviously are a lot of obstacles, especially being a diabetic. So I would say the first obstacle that I had to overcome, honestly, was anxiety. You know, I never have dealt with anxiety in my life, but when I moved to Chicago, I got so overwhelmed. It was like I couldn't sleep at night because I was afraid that my blood sugar was going to drop. It was like this constant fear that nobody was around and that I'm new to diabetes. Like, I was just so scared. So that was the first kind of thing that I had to kind of figure out and deal with, and that was hard. And then I overcame that and was able to exercise. I didn't even want to exercise because I was so scared that, you know, my sugar was going to drop too low. So fast forward, unfortunately, I got a kidney infection. I wasn't feeling very well, and I had a fever, but I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. It's fine. That's just how I usually am. I was, you know, suggested to go to the hospital, and I did, and ended up spending a few days there. So I had, I had to deal with that, which was really hard. Because that is one of the biggest things, being a diabetic. You are more prone to, you know, kidney failure, things like that. So that, you know, within itself is scary to think about all of these things that you're just more prone to have or to get when you are a diabetic, to actually have to like deal with something like that, especially at my age, was concerning to me. So I dealt with that and got out of the hospital. And not too long after that, I started dealing with some impingement in my hips. Basically, I was getting some like shooting pains if I was sitting or if I was walking. It started to become like really, really, really bad. And I was like, okay, there's something wrong. I don't know what's going on, but I need to figure it out. My doctor was like, okay, yeah, you have a CAM deformity and we need to do like a labor tear fix for you. So sure enough, two summers ago, I had hip surgery. So that was hard. It was hard mentally, just because it was like, I felt like one thing after another. I'm like, okay, I just need to catch a break. But had it not really been for that hip surgery, like after I had that hip surgery, it was just like, I was so determined to do what I wanted to do and to make my life the best it could be. And like, now that I was healthy and, you know, I had a clear bill of health, I'm like, okay, this is the time for me to like, to just do it for myself and, you know, make up for the times that I had and not sit here and feel sorry, like just do it and have this as your lifestyle. So that's what I've been doing. And, you know, I've had a couple things here and there, that, you know, I'm dealing with, but honestly, I just kind of take it day by day and I've just realized that now I have to listen to my body more. So if something hurts or if I'm in pain, like it's just, I need to slow down or fix the problem immediately instead of, you know, my old ways of just, you know, getting through it. So that's been a good lesson for myself, just because, you know, having diabetes, you just have to always be aware and be a little bit more cautious. You know, even if you just cut your foot, if you cut your finger, it's like it takes twice the time to heal. So it's important that I'm in tune with my body. And I finally feel like now I actually am.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
So, yes, for sure.
Because leading up to all the stuff that you're accomplishing now, you definitely have to be in tune. So that's pretty, that's a good way to start the leeway into the adventure you had, a year ago or so, or within the last year, deciding that, hey, I want to walk the stage in a bikini. Yeah. And so how did that come about after all these amazing, wonderful hurdles and mountains that you have climbed and conquered? What kind of made you decide that you wanted to adventure into the world of fitness competing?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is being at Hi-Fi Fitness and that gym and that atmosphere and actually like seeing some of those girls back there posing. And I was like, what are they doing? You know, what is that all about? Mm-hmm. And I would see them train with Brian and I kind of took a little bit of an interest to it. I'm like, what is this whole, you know, bikini fitness thing? And I did a little bit of research and I was like, I kind of want to do this. I don't know if I have the body for it. I don't know if this is something that I can actually do. Like, you know, walking in heels on a stage in front of people, that kind of scared me, but I wanted to just push myself. You know, I wanted to push myself to somewhere I've never been and kind of step out of my box. I kind of just decided, I sat down with Brian one day, I was introduced to Brian and he was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to train you and I think you'd be great, and kind of gave me a little bit of motivation. And I came home and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So, you know, little did I know how much it was going to take, but I told myself that this is just a goal and I wanted to check it off my list and feel good. Like, I honestly did it for myself because I wanted to feel the best I've ever felt. You know, I wanted this year to be the best I ever felt physically, mentally, emotionally, everything. You know, after everything that I've went through, I just wanted to just prove to myself that I could do this, because I think, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, having diabetes, like how this is going to work and if I'm going to be able to do this. But I just said to myself, like, I'm going to do this, whatever it takes. You know, if I have to, you know, do it my way, kind of in the sense of the program of my diet and like kind of, you know, learn as I go, then that's fine. And that's, you know, that's what I learned to do. But I wanted to do it. I wanted to accomplish it and feel good that I actually did it and that I kind of beat the odds. Because a lot of people, you know, who know me, who know I have diabetes, it's like the first thing they say, like, well, is that good for your diabetes? Was it good? And it was the best thing that I've ever done for it, to be honest. So I'm so happy I did. Yeah.
For sure. Now, so as with any, with any one of the divisions, you have figure, you have bikini, or bodybuilder, physique. No one's cookie cutter when it comes to dieting, and that's the one thing. One thing I've been learning, my husband coaches me a lot with my eating. When I listen, things turn out right, but it's hard sometimes to trust that process because you're seeing your body do so many different things. So for you, how different was your diet, because that is such an important aspect of this, how different was it compared to what you were normally doing? Because I saw you before you were way, way into it, and in your pictures, and you looked pretty fit. You looked very athletic. You know, it looked like you worked out. So what little things for you did you change and have to tweak that, you know, Brian McCabe helped you with to get you to that winning physique?
You know, yeah, I always feel like I've been, you know, athletic. I have an athletic build and I play sports. So that was never really the problem of, you know, my shape. But as far as my diet went, I was kind of naive to what I should be eating. And I'll admit, like, I was afraid to really, not afraid, but I didn't eat as many carbs as I should have. prior to, you know, working with Brian, because I was kind of scared of them. I knew that if I ate carbohydrates, it spiked my sugar. I knew I had to take insulin for my carbohydrates. So I basically lived a very, like, low-carb life. So, you know, when Brian and I first met and he gave me my program, and I was like, holy cow, you want me to eat oatmeal in the morning and rice in the afternoon? Like, I can't tell you the last time I had either one of those.
Right.
So, you know, it was interesting. And, you know, at first I was like, I don't know if this is going to be good for me. And, you know, you always, like, wonder, like, is this going to be the best for me? Like, is my body going to change with this diet? But, you know, I did. I stuck it out, and I listened to his program. And it was really about, like, the timing. You know, when you're on a schedule of, you know, eating this meal at a certain time and this meal, you just kind of, you do it. And it was great for me because, you know, not only was I actually learning to eat carbs and having this energy that I didn't have before, but at the same time, I was exercising and eating, you know, together, and it was perfect for my blood sugars. Like, I wear an insulin pump, and I was able to take that thing off. I barely ever wore my insulin pump because, you know, the more
Shut
you exercise,
up.
Yeah, swear to God, it was amazing. Like, I was, like, literally amazed. Yeah, because, you know, working out obviously helps control your blood sugars, but it increases your insulin sensitivity. So basically, you know, the more I worked out and the better I ate and the timing I ate, it was like I didn't need my pump. And I was feeling good and good energy and, you know, It was great. Obviously, you know, the last week changes a little bit where, you know, the diet changes, and that was hard. You know, I definitely had some lows at the time where I would have to wake up and, like, drink Gatorade, but it wasn't bad, to be honest. It was a pretty easy process, and I was thrilled with the results. So, I mean, you know, you really do have to trust the process and trust your coach. That's really what it comes down to.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So that seems like it wasn't a very difficult thing to kind of change back. Did you, after the competition, so you get up there, what was your favorite thing about, you know, the coming up, the prep, the getting the week before, the day of, looking back at all that, because you were on Team Body Sculpt, which is Brian McCabe's team. And he is, I've seen the girls and the guys that he works with and have had the pleasure to work with him. And it is a pretty energetic and amazing group of men and women that really push each other and keep positive. And there's just no way to fail when you're in that environment, which I think is important for so many individuals. If you look back at that, because you started dieting, or you started prepping in January for an April, is that what it was?
Yeah. It was probably like mid-January. Yep.
Mid-January. Looking back at that, what was your favorite thing or most memorable part of all of that?
Man, there was a few. But I would have to say, doing it.
Go ahead, name a few. That's for you.
What's that?
I said, go ahead, name a few. That's great.
Well, the first and foremost was I definitely couldn't have done it without Maya. You know, Maya was a girl that I, you know, had trained with from the get-go. It was her first show as well. So we really got to go through everything together. So having somebody that can really experience everything that you're going through is by far the best thing I could have asked for, because, you know, when she was down, I would bring her up. When I was down, she would bring me up. And it was just so great to, like, meet a friend, but have like the same sort of goals that we wanted to do. And we were right there for each other the entire time. And literally, I mean, we were right there for each other on the stage. You know, she came in second, I came in first, and it was just, like, amazing to share that moment with her, because we worked so hard that, like, you know, everything else was just like, holy cow, I can't believe we're up here. Like, we couldn't even believe that we were on that stage that day. Like, it happened so quickly, you know? I was like, I just couldn't believe how quick it happened. So I would say out of the whole experience, my favorite part about it was definitely meeting her and being a part of Team Body Sculpt. I mean, Brian was great. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing, and you know, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And, but he really just helped build my confidence. You know, and even with you, Phaedra, like you helping me pose and things like that. Those are all the memories that I look back on, and I'm like, man, that's what made it so special, was just like the experiences of things that happened before the show, you know, getting ready for it. Even though there was times of like, oh, I don't think I can do this, there was more times like, oh my gosh, I had a great workout, or like I had a great posing session. Like it was all honestly, you know, when it comes down to it, I really actually enjoyed it all. Obviously I don't enjoy the tilapia four times a day, but everything else was good. Everything was great going up into the show, and obviously the show was just another high. Like, you know, everybody on Team Body, including like Brian's wife, she was in backstage like spraying me with Tam, you know, like everybody just chips in and like helps each other, and I can't be more thankful for that, because I've heard horror stories of girls doing fitness shows, especially by themselves. And, you know, it doesn't turn out to be fun, you know, and they don't have a good time. They don't have a good energy. And I think that's what makes the show the best, is having that energy and just having fun, regardless where you place. Because honestly, when I stepped on that stage, before I even stepped on stage, I never even in a million years thought I was even going to place. Like, I just didn't think about it like that. I just thought this was my goal, and I'm here with my friend, and we're just going to have a good time. So I think the attitude that you have going into a show is also very important.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And you said one question that I think is important to ask when any female or male wants to get involved with the whole competition circuit is the why. Because there's a lot of reasons why. And not that any are right or wrong, but I feel like there are some that might be a little bit like healthier. And so what is your why as to getting into the wanting to do bikini competition?
Oh, well, I mean, really my why was because I wanted to prove that even with, you know, having diabetes and having adversities, that I could do this. You know, that was the most important to me, and to push myself somewhere where I've never been before. You know, I've never worked so hard in my life for something, and for something that pays off, you know, something that I know is adding years to my life. You know, and that's what it comes down to, is like, I have made the decision of living a healthy lifestyle because I'm a type 1 diabetic, and that's what I have to do. Like, there's no other option for me to live a long, healthy life. Like, these are the lifestyle changes I need and I want. And honestly, when it comes down to it, it's like, it is a lifestyle change. And that's just something that I've just embraced and I love. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, some people do shows for different reasons. And honestly, I have to just say, like, I just did it for myself to prove and to like prove to other people. I mean, it's unbelievable. I've gotten feedback from other like diabetics, like type 1 girls, that are like, you know, it's such an inspiration to see you do that. And like, that's the kind of stuff, that's why I do what I do, because I want to inspire somebody else to do it. Somebody else that thinks like, oh, I don't think I can do that because of this or that, like, do it. You know, you might have to make it your own way. But you can do anything that you put your mind to, and anything that's healthy. I mean, go for it. You know, if you want to do a show, it's just for you. It doesn't matter where you place. It's just accomplishing a goal. And for me, it's really like nailing this new lifestyle and feeling good about it and feeling confident.
Yes. The confidence is huge. Speaking of confidence, one of the being able to be confident, and you said you have a lot of girls that are calling you and saying what inspiration you have, and all this is wonderful and fantastic, but going through all this, it also makes it easier to have such a great support system. So who, aside from Teen Body Sculpt, was your family, you know, significant other, anybody, were they all for this? Did you get any backlash? Or did you, like, how did that go with the support system you had?
You know, I actually had a pretty decent support system. My boyfriend was totally supportive of it. My family was, you know, my mom was just so happy, you know, that I was doing this. And I think everybody was supportive. I think there was they were a little skeptical about, you know, the diet, and they just wanted to make sure that I was, you know, healthy and stuff like that. And you know,
right.
I sent a text message to my dad of the picture of the show. He's like, what happened to you?
Like, where is my baby?
He's like, that's not you. I was like, no, that's me. So, for the most part, everybody was really supportive. You know, obviously, I had to cut my social life out. So I think it was hard sometimes. Like, there were certain people that didn't maybe understand, like, no, I can't go out and have a beer, and no, I can't go out and have dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's fine. You know, like, the people that support me are the people that I, you know, need in my life. And so I found that, like, literally High Five became, like, my second home and my second family, you know, from the time I was there. And
you were there a lot.
And all the people I meet. Yeah. And all the people I met there. I mean, that was my biggest support system, honestly. Like, just going in there and, like, hearing people say, oh, you know, you're doing great, or, you know, and that was the best feeling, is to actually see people every day and have that feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can see that. It's a very colorful and good place when you are a positive entity there that will come back at you, and you'll find all those people there that will give that back to you for sure.
Hard to find, you know. I don't know any other gym that's like that ever. Like, I've never been in a gym like that. So I'm really appreciative to, you know, to have that there.
Yes. It's one, and everyone loves you there. Like, you definitely put your mark on the gym for sure. So we're very lucky to have you there.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. And you know, from the day I met you, letting me borrow your straps, totally cool of you. So thank you for that.
yes, thank you for letting me use those shoes.
Yes. Okay, so we've gotten through the show, but there was something else that was, not only did you get this awesome sword and some cool medal, but you were on the cover of Natural Magazine.
How
about that?
Holy
That's
cow. Pretty... Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it. Literally, you know, I went on my Facebook, and all of a sudden I see that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, is this real? Is this real life? So that was just so overwhelming. I you know, I had no idea that was happening. So Will did a good job. The photographer that took that picture, who's amazing, he did a great job of keeping that hush hush.
And
but,
who was that? Was that? That was Will Edwards, right?
Yes, Will Edwards. Yep. And
okay.
I've done a couple of shoots with him. Actually, he was the one that did the Diabetes Does Not Define Me. That shot is with him as well. So he's amazing. I was just so shocked. I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, you know, to call my family and, you know, tell them this, and they were just so excited for me, and I just can't wait to actually, like, see it. So I think it's being released today. So I can't wait to actually like view it and see it. So yeah, it'll be really nice, and my first magazine, hopefully some more to come, you know?
Yeah, for sure. As you take over, like, you begin to take over the world.
Right?
So all this high now, we have chatted a little bit after your competition, and it's kind of important because it's such a high, and like, your life and work kind of becomes prep like that. You could schedule everything around when you eat, when you train, when you sleep, when you eat. That becomes life. And I'd like to pick your brain a little bit, because there may be some first timers wanting to, you know, that are listening that kind of want to get into it. And there comes, and you win, and you get this cover. So you're like flying, right? And then it's your birthday, and you go on vacation.
Yeah.
So in the best shape of your life on the beach, which you look phenomenal, by the way. So
thank you.
Great, good time. After that, did you find yourself feeling like you've been okay? Because it's been about a little over a month now. So were you totally fine? Did you feel like yourself kind of lost? You know, any kind of weird emotional stuff that you think that you've gone through since the show?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, to be honest, it felt like I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, like I was on such a regimen, and you know, at some points I didn't really appreciate that regimen when I was going through it.
Mm-hmm.
But then to not have it, it's been kind of like, okay, now what do I do? Now that I'm not going to the gym, and I mean, I'm still going to the gym, but now that I don't have like this set program every day, I felt kind of lost, and it was kind of like this post-show depression almost, you know, where you're like, you kind of get sad. You're like, it's all over. All this hard work, you go up there, and then it's just over, you know? So I think it took me a minute to realize, okay, you know, now I just need to set another goal. And that's basically what it comes down to. It's just setting the bar higher and higher and higher, and you just have to keep going for more. And, you know, for people out there that want to do their first show, you know, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And if you are, if you're setting a goal for yourself, because this is what it's about. It is a competition in the long run, but really the big competition is with yourself, because you have to compete with yourself this entire prep to keep yourself going, to finally get on stage to compete with somebody else. So really, like, you know, that's how I kind of look at it now. I'm like, okay, now I want to tackle something else. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what that next thing and the next step is for me to do. But yeah, it definitely took me, it's almost been a month now, and I'm back to the gym, and I'm doing my workouts and doing my macros and everything else, my food counting, but I'm ready for another challenge for sure.
Yeah. What is your summer looking like? Do you have anything planned? Are you going to change? What are you, with the summer plans and now that you're back in training, do you have anything that you'd like to change or just kind of go into the next? Well, what is your next step as far as competing goes? Do you have anything looking forward?
Right now I don't have anything on the books, that I'm going to be doing. I have a bit of a neck injury, so I need to kind of take care of that and have that heal before I start, you know, lifting.
Another mountain.
But that's okay. It's just, you know, it's another obstacle to just overcome. That's fine. And you know, those things come up, and it's just like, you just kind of have to learn and kind of teach your body a different and something new. And that's what I'm doing. I'm teaching my body, you know, how to do corrective exercises and things like that. And it can be really frustrating at times.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody out there that has an injury, it can be very frustrating when you're trying to, you know, achieve something. But, you know, if you just take the time and fix what needs to be fixed and give it that time, you're so much better off. And I know it's hard mentally to like accept that, but when you do, you end up stronger in the end. So as far as the show goes, I mean, I'd love to do another one. I'm thinking hopefully in the fall or end of summer, maybe like August, September. So that's kind of what I'm shooting for. But right now, like, I'm focusing. I'm going to get my personal training license, and I'm just going to
focus
on that.
Yeah.
So I'd love to do that, and then, you know, just learn everything I can, you know, about my own body, about, you know, fitness, so I can help others. You know, that's basically my ultimate goal is to help others, especially other people with diabetes, whether it be type 1, type 2. I mean, like I said, you know, you heard the percentage of people out there with diabetes. So it's like there is a group of people that, you know, could use some guidance, and I'd love to be that person. So that's kind of my ultimate goal. So I'm just taken steps to get there.
Wow, that's a lot of plans that you have going on.
Keeps me busy.
Absolutely. And how old are you, Carrie?
I'm 28, just turned 28.
28, that's pretty amazing to go through all this stuff, and it just goes to show nothing is by accident. You go through so many stages. You've had so many different, what most people will call setbacks, which you completely turned into learning experiences and a way to shoot you forward into success. And that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
So what would be your piece of advice for anyone, whether, you know, they have something that they're dealing with that they may set them back or not, as far as whether it be competing or anything? Like, if someone came up to you tomorrow and was like, I can't do anything, and, you know, it's going to be so hard, and I can't because my doctor says this or that, you know, what would you do? What would be, like, your platform to tell them, you know, to move forward or achieve that?
Yeah, I think, you know, what it comes down to is ultimately, you know, obviously there are tons of setbacks that anybody can have. And unfortunately, you know, some are bigger than others. But really, if you really want it and you can dig deep, you can find a way, whether it's an alternate way or the other way. Like, there's always a way to accomplish like what you want to accomplish. And I think it's just really like believing in that, and just, you have to remind yourself, like, this is what I want. And believing in yourself of what you want to accomplish is really the biggest, it can be the biggest thing overall. I mean, you know, there's times where I never thought, you know, before, I'm like, oh, I can't do a competition. Like, I don't think my body can handle it. And for somebody else that might be dealing with another disease or, you know, something else that might inhibit them from being able to like exercise or eat a certain thing. It's just, you have to kind of just take it and customize it to what you can do. You know, it's just all about what you want and what you want to accomplish and how you're going to accomplish it. Cause really, you can accomplish anything you want. You just might have to do it a different way. And that's really what I would tell anybody out there that feels like they can't do something or, you know, they're having trouble. It's just, if you want it, you have to dig deep and really just believe in yourself. Cause that's the ultimate thing, is like, you know, you're the person that's got to make it happen. So you're the person that needs to believe in yourself and push yourself the hardest. And it's not easy. It's not easy to, you know, step out of your comfort zone and do something that you're not used to, but it is the most rewarding feeling you'll ever have, for sure.
Yeah. Yes. And that would definitely fast forward me into wanting to do something, because everything you said is so true, and it hits home. And I think we all need to realize that, whether we have something that might disable us or set us back, those words definitely could inspire. And you are inspiring. Who inspires you?
Oh, man, a lot of people inspire me. I think my grandmother, you know, she's a type one. She's a tough cookie, you know, no nonsense. She had 7 kids, and she's she's very inspiring. I mean, you know, she doesn't talk about her diabetes or, you know, anything like that, but she's just a strong woman. And I think, you know, I'm inspired by any strong female out there, regardless of what they do. That inspires me. You know, people that I don't think they can do something that do, that inspires me. I mean, I'm inspired by so much. It's unbelievable.
Just walking down the street, you're like, sunshine, inspiration.
Yeah, exactly.
That is fantastic. What, these are just some fun questions now, because it's been such a serious topic, and I feel you had so many wonderful things to say. And so let's remember that you are a woman, and you are so many things, not just somebody that has, you know, has had many surgeries and diabetes. You're so much. So
right.
Let's get into just some kind of like, let's know, Carrie. So inspiration, grandmother, and everything else. Did you make yourself a playlist before your competition?
No, I didn't.
Did you have
I
a
did
certain
not make
song? Did you have a certain song that you listened to that was like, all right, like during your workout, that was like, last set, last everything, this was the end, that got you going?
You know, not really, because I always had Maya, so we would just talk back and forth with each other as far as the show went, you know, we would just kind of talk, and we just talk about food. We can't wait to eat this,
okay.
Wait to do that.
Yeah, but so what was your big thought?
Oh, as far as my food, is that what you're going to say?
No, I was just going to go as far as music, and then I was going to ask you, yeah, about your big meal after the competition.
Well, all right, so back to my music. I literally would listen to Pandora, and depending on the mood I was in, would be the station I listened to, but I didn't really have anything, like, set, obviously. Like, I like some rap, but I would always throw on, like, my Red Hot Chili Peppers to kind of pump me up if I was just trying to, like, you know, get in the mindset as far as lifting. And as far as food goes, I literally could not stop talking about food for like a week before, I think. Like,
yeah.
And it was like this sick game I played with myself. I'd go to the grocery store and just buy things, even though I know I can eat them. But I was like, I will eat you. I'll be able to eat you. So I had a bag, like a huge bag of food I brought to
I think I saw the picture of
it. Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't eat it, though, because sometimes with stress, diabetes, it will make your blood sugar go up. And so, unfortunately, I had a high blood sugar that day. But whatever. So later that day, I ended up having wings and like a half a beer. And I was so full. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to go home now.
all that talking.
Yeah, all that talk, and I ate the wings really quickly, and fries, obviously. I had to have fries. But yeah, I thought, you know, obviously my eyes were bigger than my stomach, and that's just how it goes. So.
Yes, absolutely. And what kind of things do you do then over the summer? Like, because the training process for this is so regimented, and, like, you're at the gym, you have to do your cardio at this time and this time for this long and that long. So what do you do for fun as far as fitness goes, like over the summer, like riding bikes, volleyball, what kind of things you do to keep in shape over the summer?
Well, I love being outdoors, so anything that I can do outdoors, I'm all about. So definitely I love riding my bike. There's a new rock wall climbing over by Millennium Park, so I'm, like, really excited to do that
summer.
So I'm sure I'll be checking that out a lot. I'm just really kind of, like, I like to just walk around the city, you know, enjoy being outdoors, anything. I'll play any sport, anything outside. I'm not the greatest volleyball player, but I'm sure I'll end up playing on the beach one of these days. But, yeah, anything to be active and outside is – I'd like to learn just some more exercises I can do outside, just, you know, play around with different things to kind of switch up my workouts, because who wants to be in the gym, you know, when it's 90 degrees out?
Yeah.
So, but Lake Michigan's a little too cold for me to swim in, so I'm not a swimmer.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's fun to paddleboard in, though. You should try that. It's a good time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, paddleboarding is fun. I love paddleboarding.
Yeah. Unless you fall in, that sucks. But it gets you in there.
Yeah,
it gets you in there and gets you numb to the water real fast.
Right.
Well, Carrie, it has been fantastic speaking with you. I get the pleasure of seeing you multiple times a week, but I'm so glad I had the opportunity to introduce you to our P4P listeners. And I hope you will join us when you are going to make it big.
For sure. I mean, thank you so much for having me. This was just another great blessing that I'm just so thankful for. So, you know, hopefully there's some people out there that maybe learn some new information, or, you know, if you're out there and want to do a show or you have a goal, you know, go ahead and do it. And just, yeah, I'm just so happy to be on the show, and I can't wait for, you know, my further adventures I have going on. So I'll definitely keep you guys posted.
Well, thank you so much, sir. You have a fantastic evening, and good luck on the rest of your journey, because it's going to be a great one, and I'm happy I get to be a part of it and watch you grow. So thank you for being with us tonight. All right, and we will talk to you soon. Have a good night, Katie.
All right. Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.